is so amazing, worthy of our exaltation. Take your seats, folks. Fasten your seat belts. Glory to God. We on recording yet, Mash? Good stuff. Well, there's a lot away, a lot on holidays, and those of you that are listening to the podcast subs or after this service, because once it's up online, a lot will tune in and listen to it. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to provoke a lot of thought today. I'm going to provoke people to thinking about where they're at. Just give you, I don't know if you've got notebooks to write notes on or whether you've got a good memory or whether you just want to jot things down on an iPad or a phone, but if you need a notepad or paper, yell. Kerry will do a bit of run around and we've got pens and paper somewhere, haven't we? Does anyone need them? It's just an interesting area that God's challenged me on over the Christmas period and early this year. And looking at the last couple of years, and I mentioned this a fortnight back when I spoke on, I don't want another year of fruitlessness. We've had two challenging years. We've had two real trying years that people have had to struggle with so much in life and so much that's been going on in the world and so much that's been pressuring us. And it has actually given people a lot of, I don't know, there's been fear, there's been discouragement, there's been despondency, and it's taken a real generative spirit to get our lives, you know, focused on God amongst it all. And if we haven't had that tenacity and that capacity, it's been a greater challenge for us to think about where we're going in God and what the purpose of things are. But I want to look at the aspects and facets of being fruitful. Now, I know I spoke on rest, but rest is a part of fruitfulness. It really is. And it's going to show us to us. In John chapter 15, Jesus talked about that. And he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, my Father purges it. Well, I think we've had a bit of purging the last couple of years. And I think we really haven't responded to it the way God wanted us to in a lot of ways. And I don't think we've recognized it maybe the way we should. And purging actually is cutting back, trimming. Yeah, there's some gardeners here. I know they're a lot better than I am. But I just put the netting over my apple trees to keep the parrots out of eating all my apples again. And I noticed that the tree was sort of at a certain level and the fruit was there. But there were a lot of branches sticking up a couple of feet that were sort of, say, hey, look at me sort of thing, sitting up there, but there was no fruit on them. They weren't producing. So guess what happened to those branches? They got cut back to the fruit level. And the fruit is all back down in this part of the tree that's productive. And I don't know whether the tree liked the purging or not, but I wanted to make sure that the tree had fruitfulness where it needed it, and those branches and leaves weren't just sucking up the life out of the tree for no reason. So that got a bit of a purging, and I sort of thought about it, and I thought, you know, I wonder if God's done that to me. And I haven't taken a lot of notice. I'm wondering if there's areas that are sticking up and saying, hey, and I think I'm doing good things, or I think I'm being right, or, you know. It gave me a bit of a thought of Saul in the Old Testament, who was appointed king, and he was head and shoulders above every other man. In other words, he walked in human wisdom and in human strength. And I think sometimes we do that rather than God's wisdom and God's strength, and it's not as fruitful as it should be. Well, it shouldn't be. It's not fruitful at all if we don't use God's strength at all. But Saul soon learned about that because he lost the kingdom over it. Isn't that incredible? He walked in his own, oh, look at me. And it's like the branches on the tree. I looked at him and I thought, what are they doing sticking up there, not doing anything but showing off? So I cut him back. Yeah, interesting. But in that same chapter of John 15, where Jesus said that he is the vine, we're the branches bear the fruit. And then he said down a little further in verse 16 of the same chapter, 7 and 15, John 15, 16, he says that you should bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. Now, I know trees are seasonal, and I know generally in a gardening scenario, things are seasonal. But in God, what's the season? Life. You come to have life and life in abundance. So our fruit being a remaining capacity or aspect of our life is not seasonal in God. We don't have seasons in God from that perspective. And I know sometimes we look at things in the natural and we pick up seasons, but I really don't think in the spiritual there's a parallel for when our fruit should not be in evidence and remaining. And I'm challenged by that. I really am. And for each and every one of us, I want to look at fruitfulness in so many facets and aspects, because what is needed in my life is probably different to everyone here. There's not a lot of people here, but I'll guarantee you, out of those of us here, every one of us can develop in an area of our life that fruitfulness is lacking. And I know I've got several areas I've been going through. I'm like, whoa. And I wasn't aware of it until I started to look at this. And I'm like, okay, Lord, we need to be fruitful for your kingdom. We need to see your life permeated in and through us for this fruitfulness to remain or to be there. And if you have to purge us and trim us and cut away stuff so the fruit develops better, so be it. But the husbandman will come along and do that if we're willing. We've got to be willing. God doesn't just come along and say, well, you're a branch. Now, if we're abiding in him the way he wants us to, that becomes part and parcel, because our abiding creates a willingness. And I'll get into that in a little bit later on. But what you and I need can be different. So if you've got notes that you want to take, or think of things, or God speaks to you over one of these areas, let's have a look at perhaps some of the fruitful areas that we can look at. Now, we got the overhead there, Mash, coming up. Let's go back a little bit. All right, there we are. Rather than just in traditional understanding of fruitfulness, some people think of the fruit of the Spirit, and that's pretty well common. That's taught a lot. Love, joy, peace. We'll cover that in a minute. But I want to look at fruitfulness in several different ways. And the Bible tells us this, that all Scripture is God-breathed or given by inspiration of God, and it is used for instruction, for conviction, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the Scriptures are a basis for our teaching of fruitfulness, so that the man or woman of God may be complete or perfect and entire, equipped for every good work. That's interesting. So there's an equipping that takes place through the Word of God. And the word equip for every good work, if you look at it in its context, it's actually referring to fruitfulness. And there's an amazing facet of that, that every good work that we're going to do for God will produce fruitfulness. Isn't that incredible? It really does. And so we have to be equipped for that. So there's a training process that we need to submit to in God, and to be fruitful in every good work is part and parcel of the development. Next slide. We're looking at the next one, which is the fruit of the Spirit. This is part and parcel of our growth and development. And if we look, all of these aspects there require growth and development. They're not things that just come automatically. I don't know, unless you've got some sort of amazing part of you that I don't have. I find some of these things hard to express or to grow in or develop in. And it's not always easy. I don't have a problem with some of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Do we always love? Do we always love everybody the way we should? Do we always exhibit love? No, I get cranky sometimes. And I'm like, ah! And it becomes a trial. It becomes a testing for me. It becomes an area where purging's necessary for that to become a developed fruit. Joy, I don't have too much problems with joy. I'm pretty easygoing, but there's times that things irritate me and the joy disappears. And sometimes I want to keep my joy fruit at the back room, you know, and lock it away so I can have a little bit of a hissy fit. You know, we're like that. Peace. Peace is something that we need to walk in and live in. Long-suffering. I think some of us are suffering long, which means we're not long-suffering. But long-suffering tends to take things in our stride. And we can work through things. And it doesn't actually phase us to the point where we get irritated by it. Long-suffering is not an easy one to work in and through. Goodness. Well, we all have facets, aspects of goodness, but is it a fruit that remains? Are we always showing goodness the way God is good? We say God is good. If we're representing Him, shouldn't we portray that goodness at the same way? Faith or faithfulness? I think that gets challenged sometimes, but we know our faith. We know what we've got, faith in God, but faith is also an expressive, active verb that we need to walk in. The Bible tells us to walk in faith, to live in faith and express faith, and that's something that is not always done. Meekness. Meekness is, they said Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. Moses had a strength and a capacity. He could have said, God, this nation's driving me crazy, wipe them out. And I think God would have done it. But that strength and that authority and that capacity he had, he controlled it. And even when God wanted to wipe this the nation out, said, Moses, step aside, I'm going to take them out. They've driven me crazy. They're not what I want them to be out in this wilderness. And Moses quickly got in and took a charger from the tabernacle there and came before God and said, God, what will the nations say if you destroy Israel? You're going to ruin your reputation. They'll just say he got them out and then he couldn't do anything with them. And he interceded from meekness to see the nation survive and out of God's wrath. Pretty. Sometimes we're not like that. Someone irritates us or gets in the way and says, God, get, you know, and we're a little bit, I don't know that we'd have that strength under control. Temperance, self-control, means we don't mouth off when we think we should. That's self-control. It means we don't exhibit the retaliation sometimes. Temperance is a really interesting fruit of the Spirit. Boy, not the easiest one to constantly exhibit and display. But if we are to develop fruit and our fruit should remain, let's start with the fruit of the Spirit for the first thing. That's difficult. Bible in that same chapter, and this drives me crazy, because in that same chapter he's talking of the fruit of the Spirit, and then he goes, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with their affections and lusts. So I don't think we can have verse 22 and 23 functioning without 24 having been a part and parcel of who we are. That's sort of, I've never seen it in that context before. I've always used that verse, and I've used this verse, and quoted, you know, the next verse. And I'm like, hang on a minute. These are consecutive. Paul wrote this in sequence. There's the fruit of the Spirit. To get it functioning, you need to crucify your flesh, huh? And you need to live in the Spirit and also walk in the Spirit. And that's all part and parcel of the one little bit of the scripture there. And I don't know that I've ever heard that brought out in that context where 1, 2 and 3 are definite part and parcel of the same package. I've definitely heard of the, you know, I've preached on it. They are the Christ who crucified the flesh. But I didn't realize it came in under the fruit of the Spirit is. And then I didn't realize if we live in the Spirit, let us all. I've quoted that verse. But I have never, ever put the three in their package as Paul put them and said, hey, this is part and parcel of the one deal. That's an interesting part there. That's really, really quite incredible. So developing that and having that is essential in growth and development for the fruit to remain. Next verse, next slide. There's some other areas of fruitfulness that we can look at. Fruitful in our relationship with God. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you desire and it will be done. Well, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he actually gives us the desires of our heart. A lot of people think, well, God's going to honor my desires. No, if we abide in him, he gives us the desires to honor him with. Then we ask him and he gives us the desires of our heart, both in the fact that he supplies the desire, then supplies the answer. It all comes from God. Isn't that incredible? We walk with him and desire, we walk in him, the desires of our heart will reflect his heart. And then we'll ask him to fulfill them and he does it. But it's not a selfish desire in any way, shape or form. It's a desire because we're committed to God and he gives us his desires and we then pray them into existence. Wow, that is such a different way of looking at it. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. Wow. Abiding in him, letting his desires permeate our heart, we pray them into existence and we bear fruit to glorify the Father. That is gobsmacking. It really is amazing how God has put it into place so it works so simply. But I think we've confused it. I think religiousness and complicated ways of doing things has taken away the simplicity of what God wanted for our lives. In John 8:31, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him there, if you abide in my word, so up there it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then Jesus told them, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And the word indeed is in practice, in outworking. So if you're doing deeds, it's something you are doing. And if you are disciples indeed, you are disciples in everything you are, say and do. It shows. Next slide. I think coming. Oh, probably I haven't. Can I get just go 1 second before we go into this one? If we're fruitful in abiding in God, I think we're fruitful in our development of our relationship with God as well. Getting to know him a lot more. The more we get to know him, the more we get to appreciate him for who he is and the great God he is. And we stand in awe of him and look at him. But then it becomes an expression of fruitfulness in our praise and worship and free-flowing in the things that we can exalt God for. It just becomes a gratitude, a heart of full gratitude to God for the greatness and goodness that he's portrayed of his life towards us. And that is a part of our development of abiding in him and our relationship in him. Continuing on then, our fruitfulness in our relationships with one another. And in the scripture there is just so much, especially when you start at Romans and work through the Paul's letters. There's a love one another. Do we always? Is that a fruit that's there constantly? Do we pray one for another? He says one for another, or pray for one another. It's reciprocal. You know, a lot of people always want prayer, but do they pray back over you and over I? You know, there's people that come for prayer and they, you know, I remember one instance where someone's going through a whole heap of things in their life and prayer was just constant. You couldn't see them, went, oh, will you pray for me? And it was 24/7, didn't matter if you met them at breakfast, lunch, noon, dinner, whatever. And so I remember challenging them. Who have you prayed for lately? And it was like you'd hit her with a brick. Like, huh? I'm the one that needs the prayer. No, if you're not praying for one another, you can't expect to get everything your way. It's a one another. It's reciprocal. You know, I appreciate you praying for me. I really do. But I've got to spend time praying for you. That's just a part and parcel of our Christian relationships. It's developing a fruitful relationship in our relationship with God's people. Praying for one another. Being kind-hearted one toward another. In honor. Preferring one another. Man, this is fruitfulness in church life and in the family of God life. Speaking to one another. In psalms, scriptures, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, you know. All these things are quite interesting. I don't know how that actually works out in a practical sense. How do you sing to one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs? I don't know. I think it must have been something of the culture back then when they actually in the Hebrew, you know, or type of culture, they sang a lot of the scriptures, didn't they? And even now, I listen to some of them, the messianic priests and Jews or rabbis on Christian TV, and they'll come up with, you know, the blessing, and now that may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. But they do it in Hebrew and they sing it. Woo! It has an impact. It really hits you because they have this tenacity in it that makes it so much more appealing and real. And I'm just wondering if that's something that's been lost in the church and how we need to perhaps develop that even in the way we sing on Sunday, realizing we're not just singing to God, but we're singing to one another. The person next to me is being encouraged by the fact that I'm singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to the Lord. Singing and making melody in my heart is something that builds up the joy and the knowledge of God to others that are hearing me. Who knows? It's interesting. Our fruitfulness in praise and worship needs to be free-flowing and in expression there as well. Next one. There's other areas. Family relationships. Fruitfulness in that. Keeping those in a total capacity where there's openness and there's freedom. There's forgiveness. There's saying sorry. There's restoring relationships that get tense and tight. And I remember years ago, I used to get my petrol at a service station in St. Albans because we lived down the road, down off Main Road there. And this guy and his wife ran the service station. And I remember going in there one day and they were having a ding-dong. You know, I said, oh, things are a bit tight today, aren't they, Joe? And he said, doesn't matter, when we get home tonight, I'll fix it all up. And I thought, what an incredible attitude, you know. He was just determined that, you know, he would not go to bed that night without the whole thing being smoothed over and sorted. And he said, I've lived my life like that every day. We have fights, we have arguments, we disagree, but at night we never go to bed without making sure everything's in harmony. I'm like, wow. The guy wasn't even a Christian. The guy wasn't born again. You know, he was one of those little, you know, cross, gruffy Maltese guys, and you know, but he was had an incredible value on his relationships with his family. It was just so good. And I remember they'd come in of a morning, and you know, they'd almost be walking in holding hands, and yeah. And within by 10 o'clock, trying to kill each other. But it was so incredibly good to see the way they lived and their life was developing. It was so good. There's another area that the scripture challenges in, you know. But we all with open face beholding the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. That's a life of fruitfulness in being transformed into the image of God. Is that an area that we constantly treasure a development in? Yeah, that's part of our fruitfulness in relationship with God. Our personal development, you know, and this is not just within family, but it can be anywhere. forgiveness, our attitude, our giving, our commitment, our ministering to another's needs, being watchful or alert, sensitive to the Spirit, being renewed in every area daily, walking in love, allowing the peace of God to keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, is all associated with and attached to being fruitful. Because it's showing the life of God developing and growing in our lives. It's giving us our life an expression that God wants. And Jesus said, I come that you might bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. So that fruit to me in going through this has showing up in so many areas of life that I'm like, wow. This is a challenge to me, and I hope it is to you too, because fruitfulness is something I think we look at too narrow-mindedly in our thinking. All right, let's go a little bit further on. Next one, fruitfulness in walking in love. Did I cover that? Maybe I did. I don't know. I did. Fruitfulness in other areas, our church life, you know. I think churches today have become more a, what do they call them, the modern churches? User-friendly. You can come in and you can just enjoy yourself and, you know, say hello to a few people and go home, have a coffee. And it's really become a social club in a lot of, almost to that sense. I don't mean to demean church life to a, you know, bring it down from what God intended, but I don't really think God intended that type of thing. And I just quickly, Kerry just brought this up during the week. She went to another church and she said they were talking about three aspects of church life that they wanted to see function. And the ABC of church life: abiding, belonging, and contributing. And I'll let her or anyone else to think about that. But I thought, wow, that is so good. It takes people, it gives them a commitment. It gives them an ownership and a belonging, and also they're contributing to it in so many ways in being part and parcel of the church life. And the church is actually to be a powerful, active, and glorious reflection of the life of God, representing the kingdom of heaven. And if it's not doing that, I don't really believe the biblical aspect of the church is fully functional. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, I've seen the gates of hell giving the church a hell of a time in the past little while. New Zealand, I've just found out, they have not had church over there for nearly 15 months. They have no churches been allowed to open. Can you imagine that? Why? They're having to depend on online, Zoom, and other church ministry. I'm sure that if we stood up against that sort of thing, we would see the kingdom of God back into full swing. And talking to my son the other day, and I'm like, wow, I couldn't believe it. I thought they were back into a more liberal, free flow, but they are not. They cannot go at all. We need to be representative of the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven. Next one. What's the kingdom of heaven all about? Well, Jesus said the gospel of the kingdom. I don't know what gospel we are actually preaching today. I don't hear too much mention of the king and the kingdom. It's a submission to a Lord Jesus. It's a commitment to a king of glory. And it's the kingdom of heaven that needs to be part and parcel of the church's whole presentation of who God is in the world. And Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. Gospel of the kingdom? Can you take me somewhere where the gospel of the kingdom is being taught? They're all talking about Jesus coming back. No one's talking about the gospel of the kingdom. Well, if the gospel of the kingdom isn't being preached in all the world, where is the king going to come back to? Wow. That puts it into a perspective that I think we've missed. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. We've got a lot of gospels out there. We've got a prosperity gospel, and we've got a God will meet your need gospel, and come to Jesus, and he'll give you he's got a plan for you and a future, and he's going to do this for you and that. That's not the gospel of the kingdom. Repent. Give your life to Him. Walk in His ways. Come to the King of Glory. Acknowledge Him as Savior, Lord, and King. That's a better gospel than of the bless me type gospel. I think we've lost that a little bit somewhere. Think about that one. That's really, really interesting. The gospel of the kingdom. Well, if the gospel's going to be preached, isn't that why we pay pastors and evangelists? Wrong. That's why God called you and me to preach the gospel of the kingdom, to allow the kingship of Christ to be seen in us through our fruitfulness of the kingdom of heaven. And that's where the gospel of the kingdom begins and starts, because people say, wow, what are you doing? Well, how come you're different? How come you're not worried about what's going on here, there? Well, I got a king I serve and he's not worried either, so what should I be? Huh? Isn't that just such a different aspect, maybe? We need to be more attuned to and aware of the fact that we're in a kingdom and the king is sitting on the throne. Amen? It's not that we pay pastors to do the job. Next verse. Next slide, sorry. Ephesians 4 gives it to us clearly. He gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Churches employ pastors and they think they've got to do all the work. The thing is, what Jesus gave them for was for this reason: for the equipping of the saints who do the work of the ministry. Who? The saints, not the pastor or the evangelist, the prophet. The equipping or the empowering or the preparing of the saints who do the work of the ministry, which is the ultimate edifying of the body of Christ. Where's it come from? One another. One another. So I'm up here talking to you about it, but I'm not doing it at any other capacity than you should be doing it. It's a one another thing. We are all there to perform the work of the ministry of all the things I've just been talking about, and then that builds up the body of Christ, so we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Wow! To a perfect or a mature man, which brings us to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What did I say earlier? We are changed into the same image. Wow! That's just a total different picture of the church to what I've sort of seen. And I'm not canning the church, but you know, what we've done is in the next one, Mash. And those that are on the air, unfortunately, can't see the slides, but we will talk to you clearly on it. Hebrews 5 says this, and he was talking about being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much to say, but it's hard to explain, seeing as you're a little bit thick. That's probably what he was talking about there. And he says, for by this time you, he's talking to the church, ought to be teachers. Huh? Performing the work of the ministry, prepared for all good works. Amen? Fruit remaining. You need to be teachers, but you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary, primary, baby school, grade one, principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk, got to be bottle fed, and you can't devour solid food because you've become as babes. We have turned backwards from growing in Christ to becoming babies again. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the work of word of righteousness, because he is an infant. Wow. And the word of righteousness is who I am in Christ Jesus. Born of the Spirit, washed in the blood, seated in heavenly places, the righteousness of God, a new creature in Christ Jesus, wholly acceptable in the Beloved. Wow. That's who we are in Christ, and from that we walk our walk as representatives of Christ, but we become, I'm coming to church on Sunday, Pastor, give me a bottle. No, we need to be sure that we're getting tough stuff to chew on and to exercise ourselves in the things of God and in the Word of God so that we are not regressing as they did here. It says, you have become. Where you ought to be teachers, you need to be taught again. You've become such as need milk. You've gone backwards. And we can't afford to do that if we're walking as a development. Jesus said, I've come that you might bear fruit and your fruit should remain, not regress. Solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, putting it into practice, the things that God has taught us, putting it into action, giving it some development in our lives, that have grown and then those that have matured have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Why do we need our senses trained to discern good and evil? Because through reason of use or through practice and use, they have their senses exercised to discern what is going on, thereby knowing how to function in any given situation for the kingdom of heaven. Whoa. How many situations have we come across in our lives and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. Wow, no senses exercised. No knowing, no preparation in heart gives you a disadvantage in difficult situations or when people's lives are in turmoil and need help. Next slide. Full age is grown and you've grown and matured spiritually at any natural age. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's those of us that are, you know, on the upside of 40. It's any age. It's any person who grows in God spiritually has the capacity to use their practical application by reason of use, discerning good and evil, knowing how to function. Every situation, not a challenge, just say, okay, God's got a hand in this. Let's put it into place. All done from a position of total confidence and trust in God and at rest in Him. And I talked to that a couple of weeks ago. Fully positioned. It's not a stress, it's rest. Because we rest in the Lord. When we're resting in Him, everything becomes doable from a position of rest. It's not a stress. Fully positioned with our trust and faith in God, knowing that we've done our part in being prepared, allowing fruit to grow, allowing our lives to be changed from glory to glory, allowing our fruitfulness in every facet and area of life to develop. And I don't think we all ever get to that stage where we can say, oh, every area of my life is fully fruitful. No, there's always going to be a challenge in one area or another where we need to be purged, pruned, taken care of, looking after, getting further developed in the word of righteousness so that we're no longer babes. Is there an area of scripture I'm not conversant with or know enough about? Do I know enough about who I am in Christ? No, well then get into it because the word, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you and his word or the word of God abides in us. We need to feed ourselves thoroughly in order for the fruit to be developed there and then become fully fruitful. Not for the church, not for my life, not for my family, for the kingdom, for the gospel of the kingdom. Woohoo! What a challenge! Wow! That has absolutely turned my whole thinking on fruitfulness upside down. All because of a thought of a couple of weeks ago, I didn't want to see another year of lacking fruitfulness. And I've taken it to God and I've actually chewed over it and meditated on it and asked God to give me an idea of what no fruitfulness would be like in my life. What did He want me to look at? What did He want the church to know about fruitfulness so the church and the people in the church and the kingdom of God could be fruitful? man, this stuff has just poured into my spirit over the last couple of weeks. And I've given you a very condensed version that I've been able to fit into 40 minutes or 35 minutes. But I hope it's challenged you. I hope it stirred you up to think about what areas of fruitfulness need developing in each and every one of our lives. Because none of us can say, I've made it and I know where I'm at. And No. We're not. We regress if we're like that because we become a little bit dull of hearing, thick-headed, and we think we got it and we haven't. And we're dull of hearing and we need milk again. Instead of the root, the fruitfulness of the meat of God's word, which is the, we become unskillful in the word of righteousness. Righteousness is our right standing with God. In Australia and other countries, we have a Bill of Rights. Those rights give us right standing with the country if we're walking in the laws of the country. Well, our righteousness gives us right standing with God if we're walking in the capacities God has given us to be righteous in Him. So we've got a job ahead of us. It won't happen if our lives are not being challenged daily to be fruitful for the kingdom. Amen? Father, I ask that your word permeate our lives today, challenging us, changing us into the image of Jesus from glory to glory, that our lives, Lord God, would not regress but progress for your kingdom and for the sake of your kingdom. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, well, that's so good. We've still got another bit of... Everyone said the 2nd of February, wasn't it, for the start of midweek? So you're still on holidays, Carol.